Good morning. Please have a seat. Welcome to worship this morning. I think it being a long weekend, lots of people had plans that the sun might be shining. Ha 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 ha. Not so much. Good morning. So as we gather for worship, a welcome to this time and this place. For those who are visiting with us this morning, I know we've got a couple of visitors. Welcome. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. Energy's feeling kind of low today. I'm just like the rain and everything is pushing me down. It's just like, get moving, get the gears going, right? So welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning, and do let us know you've been with us. We have a guest book just outside the door of the sanctuary, and we do have a little reception time here in the hall, in the entryway afterwards, with some lemonade and some cookies and such. So do hang around and join us for that, and enjoy some fellowship. As we gather, we acknowledge the place in which we gather, in which we worship, which is the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people under the terms of the Peace and Friendship Treaty. And on our map, we see the various different areas of the of what we call Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and PEI, and the territories of the Mi'kmaq, Passamaquoddy, and Maliseet, and Mi'kmaq peoples. And so let us gather together and share in the words of acknowledgement. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and the stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. And as we gather this morning, we light our candle, our candles, maybe. We light the Christ candle, reminding us that we are first and foremost followers of Christ, and Christ's light is in this place, it is within us, and it is ours to share in the world. We light a candle of peace. We think of those places where peace is not present at this point in time, and our call as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, the peacemaker, to be peacemakers in the world. And this morning we light a candle to remind us of those who serve in our armed forces in places around the world for the cause of peace. We think of those who are first responders and caregivers who are working even though it's a holiday weekend, who are there for us when we are in our hours and times of greatest need. We think of those who are looking after us in nursing home and long-term care facilities who watch over and care for us when we are in need, that we might live in the ways that we best are able. And this morning, the candle honoring those in our armed forces has a special meaning. Some of us know, some don't, but our very own Hav Chaisson passed away this last week. And so it has a special meaning for us this morning as we think of Carolyn and Brian and Carolyn's children, and all of Hav's extended family. He was in hospital for a few days, and after a medical occurrence, and was not able to recover, and so he passed away on Thursday. Services are going to be held in Sussex, New Brunswick first, and then a celebration of life later, possibly late next week, here at Cole Harbor Woodside as well. So has remains who will be interred in New Brunswick along with family from which he came. And so we think of them and remember the ways in which have exemplified what it means to be Canadian this particular week. Let us gather our hearts together in song and in praise as we sing together our opening song.
We worship you, God.
This Sunday and the next couple of Sundays, I'll be entering into a sermon series on the bread of life. And so our call to gather this morning is based in that theme. Hungering and thirsting, we come to worship. God feeds us with love and justice.
We gather in Jesus the bread of hope.
God calls us to compassion, that we may also feed others.
Jesus' love challenges us to share life with all.
We gather to sing, to praise, to pray, and to serve God in the world.
For here in worship we share Christ's life.
We pray together. Holy One, we are gathered here today to pray, to sing, and to learn about you through the teachings of Jesus. We gather to hear the way of Jesus, who is the bread of life, the bread of heaven that feeds and satisfies our hungry hearts and souls. We have come believing that you, O God, have sent him as the bread of life for all. You alone are the one who can truly satisfy us when we find our inner hungers leading us in wrong ways and pursuing unfulfilling things. God, we are here to worship and to meet you in the spirit of life in our midst. Guide us as we listen to your word. Show us where we need to change. Give us all we need to serve you in the world. May it be so. Amen.
Our opening hymn is 201 in Voices United. I am the bread of life.
The scripture this morning is John 6:35-42. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? Word of the Lord.
Are you going to come up for a children's time with me? Just you and me. Just you and me. Going to come up? Great. Why not? Why not this morning? How are you doing this morning? Good, good. So I'm wondering this morning, do you have in your family a special meal that you like to have together? Like a favorite dish or something like that? Pizza. Do you have pizza on special occasions? Yeah? Like what? Yeah. Pizza for birthdays or... Pizza for birthdays? If I had my choice, pizza would be what I would have for my birthday as well. That's one of my favorite meals. That and turkey dinner. I love turkey dinner. Not just the turkey itself. It's got to have all the fixings, right? You got to have the mashed potatoes, right? And the stuffing. Oh, you got to have stuffing, yeah. And carrots. Yeah, you got to have carrots and broccoli and gravy. Really good dark, dark brown gravy. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Now, do you ever have so much pizza that you go, oh, I'm so full. I don't think I could ever eat another piece of pizza. No? You've never been there? Oh. How many of us have gotten up from a turkey dinner and went, oh my goodness, I'm not going to need to eat for a week. And then by 10 o'clock at night, you're in the fridge, picking little bits, right? Do you have leftover pizza, or is it just gone when you're done? You have some leftovers, so cold pizza is really good too, right? Yeah. So some of those things are special meals that we have at special times, you know. And here in the church, we have a meal at special times too. We set it up over on that table right there. And we have plates of bread and cup, right? And we call that communion. You've been here for that, right? Yeah. And that meal is a very special meal, just the same way as pizza is for birthday. It feeds us, right? Makes us feel full and makes us feel happy. And we gather with people that we love and care about, and people who care about us and love us. And Jesus told us when he was teaching, he said, wherever two or three are gathered with me in my name, I'm there too. So when we're gathered with family and with friends, or whether we're gathered here in the church, we have a special meal together. And Jesus said in the reading that Mary Lou read this morning, he said, I'm like bread, because bread is a really important thing. Can you imagine pizza without bread crust? Like, that would just be goo. You just have pieces of pepperoni and cheese and stuff. Or like you said, turkey without the stuffing. It just wouldn't be the same. And Jesus said, I'm like bread. I bring a specialness to you and to your life. And I bring food for you. And not regular food like turkey stuffing, but bread from heaven. He said, I'm reminding you about who God is and what God is all about. And God's love is always with you. So when we have communion or when we share a meal together, Jesus said, think about me. I'm like the bread in each of the meals that you share. That I help and I come and I bring good nourishment and good food from God. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for bread. Whether it's in turkey stuffing or underneath pizza or on either side of grilled cheese sandwiches. wherever we find bread, we find you. We thank you for the life of Jesus, who is bread for our lives. Amen. All right. We're going to sing. You're going to have to help me sing really loud because it's just you and me. We're going to sing, I'm going to shout out my love for Jesus. How's that? Yeah? Maybe, you think maybe they'll help too? You don't know? I think they might. Okay, let's give it a try. Upstairs, or you can stay with Mom. You whatever you would like. Yep, I saw Donna come in, so she's here. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg and choir. Small in number, but mighty in voice this morning. Beautiful, beautiful. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, as we enter into this time of meditation, may your spirit be found in the words that I share this day and always. Amen. The Bread of Life discourse is a section of John's Gospel, particularly John chapter 6. Some theologians use the entirety of John 6, and others say, no, it doesn't really start until where we pick up reading this morning at verse 35. It's a large but important section of John's Gospel. And it was this particular portion of scripture and sharing it together with young people in our church that inspired a friend of mine to write the hymn, Bread of Life, Feed My Soul. Stephen Spencer was and is one of the musicians who has led Youth Forum for, gosh, more years than I can remember, 15 years. The words of that hymn we've used here at Cole Harbor Woodside on different occasions of celebrating communion, they're simple. But they're, for myself and others who I have spoken to, very profound. The words are meant to evoke a sense of that the Spirit of God is present in the music, in the words, and that the Spirit of God is in the times that we share around the table. It's certainly a song that fits communion, and that's the time we most often sing it. But it doesn't have to be limited to those celebrations of that sacrament. It should fit into all of the aspects of our life together, whether we are gathered around the table here in a formal way in the sanctuary, or perhaps a little bit more informal in the chapel on a Sunday morning, or whether we're at one of the rather raucous church suppers that we have, or gatherings for celebrations, as was held yesterday, celebrating Audre Lorde's 80th birthday, who I understand was surrounded by people and food and friends. It's a song that fits our understanding that we do not only celebrate communion with God around this table, but whenever we gather together. There are times and places in our lives in which God is present in a very real way that feeds us the same way as if we grabbed one of those wonderfully delicious little triangle sandwiches that we love at church receptions. There's a lot of debate among biblical scholars, because that's what biblical scholars like to do, is debate, as to whether or not the author of John's Gospel had intended to be talking specifically about communion or the Eucharist when it was decided that this discourse would be included in the community of John's Gospel to hear. Each of the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that we have included in the canon of Scripture, none of them wrote just for writing's sake. They wrote to a specific community. The community which gathered around John and John's Gospel heard this particular message. They didn't have the luxury in the earliest days of the church to have all four Gospels. Some were lucky if they had a written version of any one. Most communities had an orally remembered version. So when the author of John's Gospel sets out to write down his understanding of who Jesus is and who he is meant to be, we wonder if that author, thinking about Jesus and thinking about the ways in which they broke bread together, found the idea in the ancient stories of the Israelite people and the manna that came from heaven that fed them while they were on their journey out of Egypt. And whether or not that this story is meant for us to learn and to be moved into the story of Jesus' Last Supper with his followers before he is crucified. We're not really sure. We don't know anything about John's community. Most Protestant denominations, such as ours, see the passage as a revelatory passage. It's in this passage that Jesus is revealing to his followers that he is the Messiah, the messenger, the one from God. Other denominations that are not Protestant in basis base their theology of the Eucharist in this particular passage. The Eucharist being in the Roman Catholic or Anglican, Orthodox and other traditions, in which that bread that is shared becomes the actual body of Christ, either by the prayer of the priest or by the faith of the believer. In our United Church context, Jesus' messianic identity is revealed to the crowd and to the readers and hearers of John's gospel in the sign of the bread. Jesus is not speaking just to his followers, he's speaking to a crowd. The bread for us in the United Church of Canada symbolizes Jesus' body and his life through which we are fed spiritually. So in the United Church, when we gather together and join in communion with Christ, we are joining in communion, community with Christ, with one another when we partake the elements, the bread and the cup. Our doctrine tells us that we take those pieces of food in spiritual manner for our, quote, comfort, nourishment, and growth in grace. Meaning that for us, these are spiritual symbols of God's love, grace, and are meant to, as I said, give us comfort and nourishment and growth. It's supposed to be not just for us as individuals as we come to the table, but it should be for us as a community, as a whole, those things. And we need to take care that while we gather at the table, it might be maybe not quite so regimented and structured in many of our United Churches. It should nonetheless be done with reverence so that we do recognize the life-giving manner of the celebration. It's a delicate balance that I often struggle to find. Never let anyone tell you that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is easy to understand. It's just juice. It's just bread. It's far more complex than that. In the United Church, those who participate in it fully gain one of the great holy mysteries of our faith. So what does it mean for us in the United Church of Canada to find the bread of life? A number of years ago at Berwick Camp, the Bible study leader, the Reverend Karen Hamilton, who was the General Secretary of the Canadian Council of Churches and an ordained minister in the United Church, was sharing her experiences of an interfaith dialogue. She was serving her last pastoral charge before taking the General Secretary's position, and she had arranged with a local rabbi to come together for an interfaith dialogue between the two communities. How many of you would be happy to do something like that? Get together, that would be really neat. I think that would be really cool. So she thought everything was arranged. And then a small delegation of people from her church came to her and said, we need to postpone this. And she said, why? And she said, they know what they believe. We don't know what we believe. They wanted an intensive workshop on being United Church and our beliefs. Too many times in church, especially in our United Church, we finish with Sunday school at, we hope, 13, 14, but it's often 10, 11, 12, and they want to move up into helping with the nursery or helping with the younger kids. And we don't continue to move forward in learning and in our faith. Some of the discussions I had with the young people this last spring were surprising because in this confirmation class that we had, they came to know things about their United Church into which they were growing and confirming their faith that they did not know. If they had learned it, they didn't remember it. They were surprised at some of the things that we believe. And although they didn't find the book incredibly interesting, This United Church of Ours by Ralph Milton is a good place to start. As faith communities, we need to ensure that as group and individuals, we're not neglecting our faith development, our faith education. How are we to be fed by the bread of the word if we don't understand its meaning in our lives? How can we share our faith with others if we don't take the time to, as Karen Hamilton's church said, learn about it themselves? We need, I believe, more than just the amazingly fantastic sermons we hear on Sunday mornings. Each one of us works out our faith, the letter to the Philippians says, with fear and trembling. And that means that we take our faith seriously. It's a big part of who we are. And I'm not about to tell you what the bread of life should mean to you. In my last pastoral charge, I was searching for people to help serve communion one Sunday morning, and I asked this woman who had been a longtime member of the church, had been chair of the official board and had been involved in so many aspects of the life of the church, asked her to help serve communion. She said, "No, don't ask me to do that." And I said, "Why?" She said, "I had a disaster the last time I did it, and I can never do it again. I'm so embarrassed." And I said, "Well, I got to find out about this." So we chatted one day, and I said, "You got to tell me what happened." She said, "Well, you know how you take the plates and you stack them on top of one another." She said, "One Sunday, I was helping to serve communion. I didn't notice there was a piece of bread stuck to the bottom of the plate. And as I walked down the aisle, it let go and it fell on the floor." And I went, "Okay." "No, not okay. I dropped Jesus on the floor." She was adamant, and I, like you, had a hard time not giggling a little bit. And so we had this great conversation about, you know, for us in the United Church of Canada, that piece of bread is a symbol. It's always a symbol. It's like the maple leaf. The maple leaf doesn't define who we are as Canadians. It's a symbol of who we are as Canadians. It's like the cross. It doesn't mean who we are as Christians. It helps to symbolize our thoughts and our beliefs. And when we gather around the table, the bread and the cup continue to be and always are bread and juice or wine. And they are symbols for us. They stand for the part of our belief. But we need to struggle with those things. It's important to hear the theology from our scripture with an ear as to how it can have meaning in our lives. How is Jesus the bread of life for each of us? Just as each of the people hearing John's gospel and Jesus speak within it had to interpret what the bread of life was going to mean in light of their lives, their faith, and their understanding, so too we have to find it for our lives as well. We need to examine our spiritual lives in the light of being fed by God through communion with Christ at the table, in church on a Sunday morning, or in the parking lot on a Wednesday evening, or a Thursday night choir practice, or wherever we happen to be gathering. Because that communion of saints together is as defining a part of our faith as the table. It is the places where we are led and lived and where we are fed by Christ. We live in committed relationship to one another, having been called together as Christ's body in this time and in this place. Bread of life, feed my soul. As the presence of the Spirit makes me whole. Bread of life, fill my heart with the grace and mercy you impart. I have heard your voice calling. Come, my friend, and share in the feast that is laid out for you to show how much I care. May it be so. Amen. Beautiful. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Okay, things are winding down for the summer. Next Monday night, I will invite you to coffee and tea with me, the Rev, upstairs in the meeting room. I did this last summer for a number of Monday evenings, and the schedule is there if you're on the church website. Check out the calendar. If not, it'll be in your weekly announcements, but this Monday is the first of them. Bring a topic, a question, a thought, a scripture passage that you just want to talk about. I'll have some things in the back of my mind that if nobody brings anything, but that didn't happen last summer. Every time we got together, somebody brought a great question or wanted to know something about this or that, and it was some great conversation. And if you don't drink coffee and tea, there'll be lemonade, so it would be all good. Well, those are the announcements then. Does anyone have the Moment for Mission book? No, sir. Well, I'll just remind folks then from last Sunday in our Sunday of Indigenous, celebrating Indigenous community in our church. Our United Church of Canada does have a healing fund that had started many years ago. And there are envelopes in a basket out back there if you would like to make a donation to help the work of our United Church live into truth and reconciliation with various different projects of with our Indigenous communities from coast to coast to coast. So if you would like to do that, if you put it in the offering plate with your name on it, and if you know your envelope number or if you're on par, we will issue the tax receipt through Cole Harbour Woodside, and the monies will be forwarded to the Healing Fund through General Counsel. That is one of the ways in which we live in right we seek to live in right relations with Indigenous peoples. In that spirit, then, let us continue to worship God as we present our gifts and our offerings. And let us pray together the offering prayer. God, you are the bread of heaven, giving life to the world. You fill our souls and lives with your goodness. We bring these offerings and gifts so that we may do our part in sharing your life in the world. They are brought for the life of this community of faith, and that they may be shared with those in need of food, clothing, shelter, and hope. We pray blessing on all who receive and all who share these gifts around the world. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. I invite us to join together in our spirit, a time of prayer. Gracious God, as we gather here this day, we are thankful for this place and this time, for this community of faith and community of faithful who gather, who share, who worship, and who pray together, who continue to seek to be learners of you through the life, the death, and the experiences that we have of Jesus' resurrection. May we continue to walk in faith this day and each day. May we hear the words of Scripture this morning. May they trickle down from our hearing into our hearts. May they find ways to inform our faith. May we deepen our understanding of how we are fed from heaven, how Jesus might be for us the bread of life in so many different ways and in so many different communities, and yet one Jesus, one God, one family of humankind. This day, as we gather here in this nation, we remember that we are a nation not born out of singularity, but out of multiple backgrounds. We celebrate that. We hold that dear in our hearts as part of our identity. Our nation has not always worked for the cause of truth and justice. We have not always dealt equitably with our indigenous sisters and brothers. But we are growing, and we seek to change. We pray, O God, when we hear the voices of anger and hatred rising into the air, that we might stand firm in faith, that we might share that Jesus is love, that you are the God of all, and that each and every human person on this planet is precious in your eyes. That all belong, that is a part of who we have come to be. Let us grow deeper in that as a nation. Bless us, God, as we care for one another in this community. And today we think of and we pray for friends and family near and far. We name some in our bulletins, but all we name in our hearts and our spirits. So today we think of Carolyn and her family as they mourn Hav in his passing. We are thankful for him and for his life, not only for the service that he was able to render in times of war and conflict, but for the man he was in all of the years outside of that, as a member of a community, as a father, as a friend, as a faithful person. We hold also Chris and Gary and Beth and Hannah and Nancy and David and Faith and Dorothy and Simon and Sean and Richard, Eric, Hunter and Barbara, Gary and Joy, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Della, Reg, Lloyd, Neil, Millie, Matilda, those whose names appear here and those whose names are known to you and in the love in our hearts. May you walk with all who are in need this day. We seek to be your blessing in this place and in this time. And as we gather our prayers together, we prepare to move out into the world. We share words that Jesus offered that we might say them together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 651. Let us go from this time and this place out into the world to be amongst God's people wherever we find them, on the streets, in the community, in the stores, and in our homes. And may we bless one another with the bread of life, the bread from heaven, this day and always. Amen. So we're going to try this as a round. Bring the boy. We'll see. How brave am I feeling this morning, Greg? Let's give it a try. So we'll bring up. So we'll sing it all together, and then this section and the choir go first, and then this section we'll sing it through three times. All right, let's try it.